DNS cache poisoning is back. Point-of-sale systems are vulnerable to a new attack, and new hacks are targeting COVID-19 vaccine organizations. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morris, and this is ThreatWire for November 17th, 2020. It's my birthday! This is your summary of the threats to your security, privacy, and internet freedom. Before I jump into today's stories, make sure to check out the new Teespring store. The link is down below in the description for ThreatWire hoodies for the cold winter months, along with all sorts of other show swag. Also, Hack5 is having a big sale going on for Cyber Monday, but they have already started, so check out the store if you are interested. And now on to the news. I never thought that I would be talking about this again, but let's go ahead and take it back to my first ever year on Hack 5, 2008. Back then, an attack called DNS cache poisoning was a big thing. This could allow an attacker to redirect DNS results to an incorrect IP address, which could make you go to a fake website instead of a real one, allowing an attacker to target your browser with malware. DNS takes an IP address like 8.8.8.8 and turns it into human speak, like google.com, so you can browse the internet with easily memorized domain addresses instead of IP addresses. It's like a translation service for computers who talk in numbered addresses. Nowadays, DNS cache poisoning is not really a big thing because the problems were patched to an extent, but DNS is still a factor in various types of attacks. But that has changed thanks to the work of researchers over at the University of California at Riverside, who discovered a new vulnerability leading to the same kind of exploit. This one is called SAD DNS. In this case, the attacker can spoof IP addresses using DNS forwarders and resolver requests. They could then open a network channel and run a bunch of requests to figure out what the source port number is, which is usually randomized. Now, once they know this part, they can send out a malicious IP address to do a DNS cache poisoning attack. Researchers report about 34% of open resolvers are vulnerable to attack, with 85% of free public DNS services also vulnerable. So your own network could be affected, and because this is a silent attack, the only folks who would notice would be your ISP and DNS provider. You can find out if your own network is vulnerable to an attack by using the saddns.net website to check. Since my own network does not allow for outgoing ICMP packets, it's not vulnerable. There are several mitigations that you can take, such as disallowing those outgoing ICMP packets, lowering the DNS query timeout settings to less than a second, or using DNSSEC or RFC7873 DNS cookies. According to security researchers at ESET, E-S-E-T, new hospitality malware is hitting point-of-sale systems that affects restaurants, bars, and some hotels, and can lead to decryption of database passwords, which attackers can use to try and steal sensitive payment information saved on these systems. They have dubbed the backdoor ModPipe, and it affects the most popularly used point-of-sale system from Oracle Micros, which is called the Restaurant Enterprise Series, RES3700. As a seasoned credit card industry technician myself, I am familiar with Oracle systems as I have set them up for restaurants, and they can run everything from inventory and labor management to billing and order acceptance, aka transactions. In order to be in compliance with credit card regulations, point-of-sale systems like this must encrypt credit card numbers and expiration date details, but an attacker could still, in theory, download that encrypted data and use some kind of module to decrypt it. Attackers would be able to collect cardholder names, though, as these would be in plain text. ModPipe in particular uses downloadable modules with a custom algorithm that targets RES3700 products, stealing those database passwords and decrypting them from Windows registry values. So this could allow the attacker to view database contents, including configurations, status tables, and transactional data, according to the ESET analysis. This is how how ModPipe works. First, an attacker drops a payload directly onto the RES-3700, which installs a persistent loader that unpacks another payload, which is used to communicate with the central C2 server. The modules included in this second payload are where the attack actually occurs, and include the main module along with a networking module for communication, and downloadable modules which steal the data. ESET researchers believe the attackers have deep knowledge of the targeted software and are using this sophisticated method for data collection. Unfortunately, many businesses and hospitality still run outdated hardware, and as such, many don't update or they can't afford to purchase newer products to stay ahead of attacks like this. Businesses that can do so are advised to update their RES-3700 products to the newest version of the software and only use devices that can be updated to the newest systems. Before we hit story number three, I wanted to say thank you so much to my supporters over at patreon.com/threatwire. Check out these amazing new Hush Puppy perk level patron fur babies. I love them. They are so cute. Keep them coming. Also, patrons now get access to discount codes for the Hack 5 shop. So make sure to check out this month's discount code over on the Patreon page. Every few months, a new one will be generated and it might include some different discounts or some different freebies. So keep an eye on the page for updates. And I do want to thank the Hack 5 shop for helping me make that happen. Also, shout out to Kevin, who joined the Patreon team this week. Thank you so much. You are awesome. And as always, you can find all of those perks, including the show shoutouts, over on the Patreon page. Thank you so much to my patrons. I appreciate each and every one of you. According to Microsoft, state-sponsored hackers with Russia and the North Korean government are targeting and, in some cases, successfully attacking companies that are involved with researching and creating vaccines and treatments for COVID-19. This comes from a post by Tom Burt. He's the Microsoft VP of Customer Security and Trust. In his post, he states that 7 different companies are being targeted in Canada, France, India, South Korea, and the US, and the attackers are from 3 different groups. One is Strontium from Russia, and the other 2 are Zinc and Cerium groups of North Korea. The targets include vaccine makers, research and trial organizations, and COVID-19 test developers. Burt says that Strontium sprays networks with passwords and brute force attempts to steal login credentials, while Zinc uses spear phishing attacks, usually sent as fake job descriptions or fake recruitment attempts, and Cerium uses spear phishing by pretending to be WHO reps. Most attacks are being blocked and organizations have been notified, but some attacks have been successful. These are not the first attempts at hacking into these organizations and companies, as I have covered plenty of them this year, but it does come in a long line of examples of how criminals are directing their attacks this year. So in response to these growing concerns, Microsoft and other companies have started a coalition to stop cyber attacks on healthcare providers, and they have called on international governments to uphold international laws that would hold these criminals accountable. Let me know what you think of today's top stories down in the comments, and with that, do not forget to like and subscribe. Next week is Thanksgiving, so I will not be doing an episode of Threatwire, but you can still catch me on my own channel, which is youtube.com/ShannonMorse. I am Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet. And if you're in the US, happy Thanksgiving. Bye!